Or God and thinking it a good sermon and all thinking it very interesting. Now that the word to come and be made now in its power in your heart is not quantity, it's quality. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenue without Christ. Better is a little you can call your own than a lot you can only look at. Better is a little which the Lord makes over to you than a lot you presumptuously take to yourself. Better is a little on which you can feed than a feast to look at. Oh, you know, you might look at a feast all our lifetime and even a sense that it is good, and yet if we never partake, then we could starve. But it is indeed a mercy if the Lord comes and grants you a crumb, shall I say, all for yourself. And we know this, that where there is a good beginning, there will be a carrying on. As I mentioned this afternoon, when the Apostle expresses the Philippian church his confidence that he which hath begun a good work will perform it, that it will finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. What an unspeakable mercy that is. Where the work of grace is begun, where it is indeed the work of grace, there will be a carrying on, there will be a performing it, or a finishing of it. God never leaves his work undone. And that goes not only for the work of grace in our souls, but for all the Lord is pleased to do for us and in us. The wise man said, I know that what God doeth shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, and nothing can be taken from it. Lord, and may the Lord ever keep us. You know, we are exhorted. Brethren, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God. Again, are we exhorted, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own self. Brethren, give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. It's a solemn thing to sit under the sound of the truth. It's solemn. What's the effect? What does it do? What has it done for you? I wonder sometimes how many there are who sit under the sound of the gospel and perish in hell. How do we escape if we neglect so great salvation? God, who spake unto the fathers and prophets in the days of old, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. This God who speaks, O the Lord, circumcise your ear to hear the message. Have you ever been able to sing from be otherwise. Safety on earth, and after death, the plenitude of heaven. Because he hath chosen you from the beginning through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. We'll now notice a little then respecting this sanctification of the Spirit and a belief of the truth. The first one I would notice is this. It sets forth the essential nature of the Spirit work. How many people there are today in the professing world? They may be deeply sincere in their religion, but friend, there's no feeling in it. We've been told before now by some that we pay too much attention to our feeling. But what religion without it? And the people who say such things, they can look at the Word of God and say, well, there's a promise, take it. Well, we can't. Now we can look at the feast on the table, that we need the Lord as it were to bring it to us. And it sets forth the essential nature of that faith which God gives. It's not only the salvation he has wrought out. Friend, you can know it from beginning to end. You can be so far enlightened by God the Holy Ghost as to see what men in the world cannot see. And yet you may still be left short of that which is vital. That is, no faith in your heart to receive it. You see, it was said by the woman of Samaria about the water in the well, the well is deep, and I have nothing to draw with. And in setting before you this deep well, we must also set before you that wherewith we draw from the even faith. And whilst I'm on this point, you notice in Scripture the importance Jesus himself puts on faith. It's not faith which we can bring ourselves, it's a gift of God. You take those characters who came to him seeking to be healed. Take the woman who pressed through the crowd and touched the hem of his garment. Jesus turned unto her, and he did not say, I appeal thee. He said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. We know that that saving power which came from, that healing power which came from Jesus, when the hem of his garment was touched with the knee, it was that which cured her of her plague. But there has been no receiving it, and no right knowledge of it, and no right cure in that poor woman's experience, unless vital faith had been implanted in her heart. So then faith, as we read, is the substance of things hoped for, is the evidence of things not seen, and we might say it is that which God gives, which enables us to receive what he is pleased to give us in his word. So then this sanctification and all that it implies, be sanctified is to be set apart. To be sanctified by the Spirit is to be set apart by God. Body and Spirit, which are God's, or we read that our temples are the dwelling place, our bodies are the temple or the dwelling place of the Holy Ghost, and it is to be set apart for a specific purpose. And the Lord has said concerning his people, this people I have formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. And therefore, this sanctification that comes is flowed to me as it does to anybody else in this channel. So I feel that if the Lord return in the power of His grace yet once again, which we should not be satisfied to live at a distance from Him whom our soul loveth. There would be a walking out, what we read, a seeking for Him as for His treasure. There would be a seeking for Him above all other things. Well then, being chosen to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, let us notice, we can only be brief, that which transpired in the experience of all those who were chosen in the beginning by God. Effectual calling. There is a time in the experience of all those who are chosen when they shall be effectually called by grace. Now the choosing is in the beginning, in eternity. The calling is in time. And effectual calling is what we might say the fruit of eternal choosing. And therefore it must come. And these are the positive truths which faith receives. And therefore, in accordance with the purpose of God, there is a being brought into the knowledge of being quickened into divine life. A something which perhaps at the time one cannot explain. A hand is put forth, a hand of mercy. The sovereign hand of grace, bringing one away from the world which lies in the wicked one. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That is done forcibly, but the character concerned is not brought on willingness. For my people shall be made willing in the day of my coming. And the mercy is this, concerning God and He, these things, He is in one mind, and who can turn Him? And what His soul desireth, even that He doeth. And therefore, as one of our poets said, the appointed time rolls on the face, not to propose, nor the proposal within eternity, but a call by grace. Ah, we've seen some. We've spoken to them before the Lord meets with them, and they in their own heart have said in effect, no, we never had these things. I never had my parents' religion. No, say some of the younger friends, not when I'm over 21 years old. Oh, I bring the parents of Christ. Lord, put forth thy hand. And I know He will, in the case of all who were foreordained unto eternal life. They were chosen of God in the beginning, chosen unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, and the first signs of life for the being quickened into divine life is the beginning of the work of sanctification of the Holy Ghost, working in the character, yes, and working for the character, setting them aside for a purpose. If we pursue this further, we might look at those characters whom the Lord sets aside for the ministry in particular. I mention it merely to illustrate my point. Are we willing to be set aside by God the Holy Spirit for this work? Pray during your life, as it respects your own standing before God, are you willing to be set apart? That the Lord might so use you, that you in your measure shall show forth the praises of apostle says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We are bound to give thanks when we see thus in God's own time a manifesting in time of that which has been decreed in eternity. O friend and grand truth, their solid truth, they're unalterable. In the mind of God it is that which shall be. And when one is called by grace, there is the beginning of this setting apart. Now I mentioned this afternoon how in this sanctification of the Spirit and all that was decreed in the eternal mind of God, and how both means and ends are ordained, and in one is called by grace. It is, as one of our poets expresses it, also the means we're fixed upon through which his sovereign love should run. So time and place, yea, means and mode, were all determined by our God. Chosen from the beginning, chosen to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. So then, being quickened into divine life, there is being led into the knowledge of both sin and salvation. The great thing to know yourself as a sinner. It'll bring you to mourn. Sometimes your sin will bring you to despair. But what a strange thing to say, at least strange, to the carnal heart, to say we can also give thanks to God when we see people made miserable through their sin. And we often think of it as it respects younger people, especially those who are near and dear to us. Well, my friends, God knows we wish them well. God knows we wish them every happiness here in time. But over and above all that, we can bless God when we can see the work of grace bringing them to mourn over their sin. Yes, we can, on the one hand, we can pray that those things which the Lord hath given us here on earth to enjoy, that they might be enabled to enjoy them yet together with it. We wish that they will be thoroughly spoiled of all earthly things, be brought to see the nothingness of them, what glory kindled all the illusions and enchantments of this world is, and brought to know that there is one thing needful. Well, now then, it is the work of God, the Holy Ghost, thus to teach. And the Apostle John is speaking of that anointing, that the anointing which ye have received of him, that is of God, even the anointing of the Holy Ghost, abideth in you, and ye have no need that any man teach you. And therefore there is a leading into the reality of the truth, a walking out of the truth, a partaking of the truth, not just a receiving of it as truth in the heart, but being given the ability to receive the love of the truth very clearly revealed, and it's a very solemn word, is how that the good works referred to in Scripture are annexed through the beginning of the real work of Christ in the soul. The Lord Jesus said, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." But the word of the apostle in writing to the Ephesians seemed to come even closer still. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And friends, on this point, let God be true and every man a liar. The fulfilling of the purpose of God as it respects the fruit his people to bear dwelleth as I have showed you in Scripture. The Lord hath before ordained that we should walk in them. How close this word comes, and what can we say concerning any who profess to love God, who profess to have been chosen in the beginning by God, and yet in their walk they show no fruit, they bear no fruit? And summarizing it, we might refer to that fruit briefly as being the gospel obedience. And we are at a point about this, that there will be, where there is, a being chosen to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, there will be a following on the known Lord. And if that living faith has been implanted in your heart, it will cause much searching of your heart before God. One of our poets said that when on the tree good fruit we see, is then we cry a goodly tree. Now many are the words of exhortation in God's word, respecting going on to know the Lord, seeking to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. The Lord Jesus sets himself forth as the living vine, and he exhorts all his followers to abide in him. For as he said, the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. That word then to which we have referred in Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, how we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, or as we read in the margin, prepared that we should walk in them. Well, it seems to set forth very plainly what the Word of God everywhere declares, that a good tree must bring forth good fruit. God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. William Gatsby was very much to the point in one remark he made in writing to another. He said, "I believe that real gospel obedience, or Christian obedience, to the will of God in Christ Jesus, to be so indispensably necessary, that a barren tree may just as soon and with as much propriety boast of its fruitfulness and the goodness chosen due to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, and then lastly, belief of the truth. And this is nothing more than being there.